Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two of DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Connor Newt here with you. And Titans training camp is here. And we here at The Game are going to keep you in the know with all the coverage that you could hope for and a whole lot more. We'll be at practice tomorrow. And our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Tennessee Brew Works, Parman Energy, and the Music City kickoff game. And the Music City kickoff game will be Ole Miss against Louisville at Nissan Stadium on September the 6th. So get your tickets today at NashvilleSports.com. Big, big press conference today to introduce the themes coming up. And it's not like we haven't hit this throughout the summer. The anticipation is always there for an NFL season. But can the Titans build on what has been a really rough patch the last couple of years? Back-to-back three-win seasons. The over-under in Vegas is around 5.5 or 6.5 wins this year. Can they take a step forward with their second-year quarterback? And one of the things, and speaking of that, we're going to talk to Trevor Maddich, longtime offensive lineman in the NFL. We'll get his take on this. But the question was asked pretty directly. How confident are you that this year Cam Ward will have a better situation in front of him with the offensive line than last year? So let's start there. And then D. Mace and I will take it from there.
Mike, when you first started out here today, you said that you continue to invest in the offensive line. I'm curious what your confidence level is like with the guys who are on the current roster, that your quarterback is better protected now than he was a year ago.
Yeah, I feel good right now. You know, like I said, we'll find out when the pads come on, though. You know, we've added a couple guys in the draft, some in free agency. But you know, you really won't really know until you get the pads on here. So, but I feel good about the work they put in the off season, and we'll continue to evaluate it.
So, the big thing that I heard was I like what it looks like now, but you don't know until the guys put the pads on. So, first of all, Derek, what do you think is the biggest thing that changes? And you can kind of slant your answer towards the offensive line, but in your experience in general, what changes when the pads come on?
I think just the physicality of it all. Now, because without pads, you got to be careful. There's a way you got to practice. There's a way you got to practice with pads as well, because you don't want to hurt your teammate. But obviously, without pads, you can't go 100 miles per hour. You got to go 50, because, and probably a little bit less than that, because you're not getting a realistic look at how the thing is going to be. And it's very hard to when you don't have on pads. If that's why more coaches want padded practices, because they can get a better, look at how the team is. And he basically said it. So to me, when you put on those pads, now we get to see you more in a game like situation, game like environment. You may fall and he may grab you by your pads. He may hold you. You got to get away from that. You can't do that when you don't have on pads. So that's why, let's go back to JC for a minute. That's why this whole pec thing, you know, we should just continue to monitor it.
Yeah.
Because of what
And for
Coach
people
said.
That didn't that may not have heard this, we addressed this in the first hour, but he's got a pectoral injury that he's been dealing with throughout OTAs. Mm-hmm. And so he has been placed on the PUP list for now, but he is considered day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. So with that being the case, yes, he likes what he's seen from his offensive line so far, but they all been in shorts and helmets. That's it. So now he has to wait to see how this thing looks once they put on the pads and once, you know, Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons and those guys can start really leaning on you. But the problem with that is JC's not going to – are you going to get the full JC experience? Meaning, are you going to finally get the first-round talent that we've been hoping for? He's been a little bit up and down. And now with this pick – how are you going to find out if he's day-to-day? I hope that he's able to come back and you know, be ready for the first day of pads. But, you know, that may not be the case. So how are you truly going to get an evaluation of the whole offensive line together? Because I'm sure he is a big part of what you're doing. It's not like his position is up for grabs.
Now, would you say, because I'm looking at the stats from FTN Fantasy, that – right now, we have a perception of Titans offensive line play as poor, right? But would you agree, because the stats, at least how they do it for this one, right? There's our eye test and what we see every Sunday, mm-hmm. and there are what the numbers show. They made some improvements from 2 years ago to last year. Agree or disagree?
I think they have, and I think a big part was Peter Skoronski and his development and who he is becoming as a player. He looks like a guy that, barring injury, he's going to be a perennial all-pro or, you know, a pro bowler, definitely. So just with that alone, I think they've gotten better. I think JC's had his moments. I think they made the right decision ultimately to put him to the right side. Dan Moore, he's been up and down. And like TD said, that center position, you know, how is that going to sort of play
That's
out?
A big one.
But I do think, I don't know how much better, you know, they are from, say, last year, because they gave up the most sacks last year. 2 years ago, I think they were in the top two or three of, you know, sacks allowed, and then even before that. So how much better they are, I don't know. I just know from what I've seen, they are better.
Here are a couple of notes from last year of where we can start this conversation and ask, where is it going to go from here? What's realistic? And here are the quotes from FTN Fantasy's Almanac here. For a rebuilding team, the Titans' offensive line, frankly, could have been a lot worse. 17th in adjusted line yards. That's not a bad place to be. Adjusted line yards mm-hmm. is basically the one catch-all stat that gives – an overall line as a unit, a grade. And so 17th out of 32 teams, okay. Doesn't sound that bad. And they were 25th in that a year before. Now, they ranked 25th in adjusted sack percentage. But this is going to be something that we talk about a lot and have talked about. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward was second in the league with 21 sacks charted as being the quarterback's fault. In other words, he held on to the ball too long. He had a chance to avoid a sack and didn't. And I do think that I feel like that could be subjective to some degree. And let's take Dan Moore, mm-hmm. right? We knew Dan Moore as the left tackle was going to be front and center. Mm-hmm. And he came in with a reputation. He's allowed a lot of sacks. Myles Garrett has had his way with him. He's not the best. He had to overpay to get him. So Dan Moore, 2025 didn't bring much clarity. He gave up 34 pressures. Mm-hmm. That was tied for 15th most in the league. Could have been worse, I guess. But while some of his high sack total was due to Ward taking forever in the pocket, Moore was beaten fairly consistently in pass protection. So it's a combination of two things. But you put together not a great left tackle with a quarterback that holds on to the ball. Mm-hmm. You end up giving up the most sacks, which they did. Cam Ward was sacked more than any quarterback in the league, 55 times.
And that's where you hope that now adding Dable into the equation, that some of these sacks can be avoided. You talked about, you know, the sacks that were attributed to Cam Ward. Maybe that, what if that's cut in half this season?
But see, that I do think, and that we seem to bring this up with one of our key questions every year when we do the tendons. How many can they improve?
And that will be a question this year.
Yes, because they need to cut down that number.
Yeah, so if you can get Cam to cut down on half of his and say you get the offensive line to, you know, cut down on a portion of theirs, now you're looking at a guy that took 55 sacks last year or was sacked 55 times, which led the NFL to, you know, he's getting sacked 35 times. Even though that's still a lot, I believe, but it's not what it once was. That shows growth, not only in the offensive line, but I think that shows growth in the quarterback. Now, he can't be avoiding the sack and then, you know, throwing an interception. So there are a lot of the things, you know, that, to add on to that. But I think if you know, a lot of this hinges on how they figure out the center position. Again, the whole, you know, Cushenberry thing, I still can't understand why they chose to move on from him. You know, I know he was injured.
Right.
I get that part. Maybe that was the sole reason, but he was healthy enough. Did he finish the season?
He played 15 games.
Yeah, he played 15 games last year. He finished the season. And you didn't have a replacement, a guy ready to go. Now, Slater is there. He may take, you know, he may win the center position. But,
and then they have a guy named Andre James, who Teron mentioned yesterday as a guy that they brought in. And, you know, he's going to have a chance. Austin Schlotman, I forget how you say it. He had this whole discussion about that. I should know by now. But they brought him from the Giants. Mm-hmm. What do you have there? And then you have the rookie, Pat Coogan, center for the national champions at Indiana. Can you find one out of those three? I mean, so you talk about having competition. They've at least brought in some guys.
Yeah.
And at the guard position two to replace Zeitler, they have competition there. So can you find two guys that you can live with amongst that whole group? Guys that you've been trying to groom from the back end in developmental side, guys you just drafted, lower picks. But that's where drafting is so big. Can you find somebody there?
You're going to have to at that right guard and that center position. Dan Moore has to play better. But again, if we can cut down, you know, a half of the sacks that he gave up and then Cam the other half, then I think you'll be in a better position. But that's a big if. But again, they have to figure out the center position. You got to figure out the right guard position. And then you just got to hope that whatever's going on with JC, that he's back sooner rather than later. Because again, these are critical reps that he's going to be missing. I know he'll be out there. I know he'll be watching. I know he'll be in the meeting rooms watching the film. I get all of that. But nothing beats being on the field and doing it, like actually doing what we talked about in the meeting room. So he's going to have – I wonder how they're going to bring him along.
And the real thing is, too, you don't just need five. You need those backups,
too. You need
about
seven, yes.
And so let's see what it looks like as we move forward here. Let's end on the good note here. And Mike Borgonzi was asked about Peter Skoronski. FTN Fantasy had him ranked as they picked up the fifth-year option. Of course, there's a contract negotiation going on right now behind the scenes. But he was the only guard in the National Football League last year to be top five in both pressure rate allowed, in other words, he pass protected well, and blown block rate, and that's on the running plays. So he grades really well. He's top five in the metrics, at least at FTN Fantasy. I don't know how that coincides with some of the other ones, Next Gen Stats and Pro Football Focus and ESPN's way of metrics, but Peter Skoronski is trending in the right direction. He's got a lot going for him. Borgonzi said today he is hopeful to get a deal done. They've had positive conversations, but nothing to report yet. But I feel like that's going to get done eventually. So hopefully he can be the anchor that strengthens everybody to his left and to his right. You got to hope.
Yeah, you hope so. So, I mean, that's going to be an ongoing question until it is resolved, the whole, you know, signing Peter Skoronski, because I'm sure they want to do it sooner rather than later. Because, again, if – you know, the metrics are what they say they are, then they predict this young man to get better next year. And you're going to have, which means you're going to have to pay more.
And that is, Borgonzi said that. He goes, I think we've got a lot of players. He mentioned Latham, too. He's a guy that he's been here. He's under 25, and we feel like there's another level that they can get to. That will be essential across the board to develop the roster as a whole. All right, we've got a linchpin offensive lineman on our show, and that is Trevor Maddich. He's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on the direction of the offensive line and the Titans. We'll touch on some college football things as well. You're listening to DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Ooh, pressure. Back here on DVD, I've got to name the year, and the choices are, once again, Connor?
99, 96, 95, 93, 90.
I'm going to say that this is 1996. Gosh, dang it.
You are 1 year off,
sir. Dang it. That's tough.
Willie, 1 year off. 1 year off.
I'm falling behind. I'm one for three. One for three.
You got to pick it up. Baseball, you got what, two more?
Baseball, 333 is pretty good. Basketball, not as good. And then other sports, it's not good at all. But anyway, it's time to talk to Trevor Maddich. I don't know if he would have nailed that one or not, but Trevor, 90s music, the specific year. I'm floundering right now.
Yeah, let me give you a specific year, 93.
Okay, so 93, that one was, so what did we say, that was 95 for
yeah,
Mariah
that was
Carey?
95, yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right, so let's get another. So you want one, Trevor? You want to see if you can get one? Maybe you do better than me.
I think
you got
I'll
another
put an
one?
extra one okay. on there, so.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, let's give Trevor
I was
a shot.
I'm about to give it to you.
So he's going to pull this up. We're talking Titans training camp presented by Tennessee Brew Works, Harmon Energy, and Music City kickoff game. We're going to talk some football with Trevor, but we're going to also test his mettle here for 90s music from D-Mace and quizzing what year was this song. Let's see how quick Connor can pull the trigger.
Sure, I'm good enough to guess the decade, huh?
You know, it would be great if we just had to do the decade. Exactly. I gave D-Mace a little
easy.
More leeway. I gave him two decades.
Here it is.
Okay. So we have some Oasis here. Right, so this is England's big victory song for the World Cup. All right, so what are the years again, Connor, for Trevor?
99, 96, 95, 93, 90.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 99 because that sounds a little more sophisticated and quite frankly good than a lot of music that was earlier in the 90s. So I'll guess 99.
What would you say, Willie?
Let's see. That would be, I'm going to say that is 95. All right. Okay. All
there
right.
you go.
Trevor knocked out one of the choices for me, so that helped narrow it down. But we will.
You and I are a team.
That's right. A pretty good team.
We're like Speed Racer and Racer X. You know, we make sure one or the other wins every time.
Yes. That's okay. As long as one of us gets to win, that's key. So, Trevor, let's talk. Derek and I were breaking down just what to look for with the offensive line for the Titans. We know how important it is to help Cam Ward out. And one of the stats that we just noted was there were a number of sacks, and you know he was sacked 55 times. At least in FTN Fantasy, they tracked 21 of the sacks as the quarterback's fault. In other words, he held the ball too long. I guess there's probably some subjectivity in that. But if you look at the guys up front, what are your biggest concerns? What are the keys to you to have better offensive line play than they've had the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the big questions of training camp, right? And my concern is that the offensive line will be the drag on this Titans team in 2026. It doesn't have to be that way, but there's a potential for there to be a gaping hole at right guard and at right tackle if J.C. Latham either plays hurt or is not able to play. Because, you know, he's on PUP right now, physically unable to perform list with a pec injury. And the thing that is, pecs that are tweaked can go from being tweaked to ripped apart with one bad angle. You know, if you're just doing, for example, bench press and it's all controlled, that's great. But in football, you're not pressing against a bar that's in a very controlled space and angle. You're pushing against a guy that's moving to all kinds of different angles and swatting at your arm at the same time. And it's easy. Well, it's not easy. It's a risk that a catastrophic injury can occur with that kind of thing. And we found out that it looks like he was fighting this thing since OTAs of last year. And so I'm very worried about this offensive line. And because everything else is really upgraded. I mean, I love the pass catchers. I love the running backs. You know, the defense, I think, is going to be more than fine. But it's the right side of the offensive line, assuming that center Austin Sloatman starts and performs at a steady level, which we'll see if he can do it as the full-time starter. But especially at right guard and what happens at right tackle, to me, it could be a real problem. And what these guys need to do is kind of what they did at the end of last year. I mean, it was a tale of two seasons for Cam at quarterback. It was also sort of a tale of two seasons for the offensive line, where against the better defenses earlier in the season, they didn't look very good at times. As the season wore on and as they started to face just normal NFL defenses, they got better, and a big reason was that they just played together, and they just got better. And that's part of the key for an offensive line. If you ask a coach, he'll tell you that he would rather have five guys on the offensive line that are pretty good, but that have played together for a long time, than five guys who are extremely talented but don't play well together. And so really the biggest key to this offensive line to performing at a steady level is that whoever they end up starting at center and right guard, really right tackle, I assume it'll be J.C. Latham, that those guys stay healthy and without a standard of their being super talented, if they can be super steady and play together well. And if they don't, guys, I'm worried that that will be the anchor on this team.
Now, Trevor, what do you think of Pat Coogan? Because, and I know we've talked about him with you when he got drafted and everything, but this is he can be one of those guys that you draft later on, and he ends up being a day one starter. We've seen that before. A later round pick on the offensive line, especially at the center position, ends up being a starter and plays a long time. But what did you see, or what have you seen in Coogan that you believe that could win him ultimately the job as a starting center with the Titans?
Well, what'll win him the job, Derek, is being in the right place, doing the right thing, and forcing the defender to break him down every single time instead of using the wrong technique and misreading a stunt or something like that. Because he is a big enough guy at 6'5", about 3'10", and he's strong enough. He needs to build more NFL caliber strength, you know, in his body, as really most offensive linemen do when they come into the league. But his best trait in college was that his football IQ is off the charts. He didn't get fooled by college stunts, by college slants, by college blitzes. He knew where to be. He knew how to make the calls. And he was not just in the right spot. He got everybody else in the right spot. He had great leadership. He was incredibly tough. And remember that he was named the MVP of the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As an offensive lineman. And really, that was a nod to the entire offensive line. And he was just the guy that was the leader of that group. So, you know, he, I think, has a tremendous future as a steady starter who doesn't make mistakes and an outstanding leader. The question will be how quickly he can come up to speed to the NFL game and the degree to which he's ready physically to handle the speed and the strength of the guys in front of him. But ultimately, I think he's got a really good future.
We're talking about Pat Coogan. He was the 6th-round pick. They also have a 5th-round offensive lineman named Fernando Carmona out of Arkansas. We're talking to Trevor Maddich. So, Trevor, as I hear you talk about this, it's been a long time since the Titans have hit on a draft pick from those rounds. Like, for example, way back when Derek was playing, one of the keys to their Super Bowl team, they had a guy named Kevin Long who was the seventh round pick, but they plugged him in day one at center, and he did the job. And he had some really good players around him. But boy, it's such a boost to a team when you get hit on a pick. What are the keys for a rookie offensive lineman that isn't, like you said, just built like a house and easily able to be plugged in physically? They're going to have to overachieve to get in there. What are the keys to making that quick transition?
They need to understand what success actually looks like. They're used to success being locking onto a college defensive lineman or linebacker and driving them 5 or 6 yards. And then when they reach for the running back, drive them onto their back and then laughing about it in the film the next day with their teammates. That's what they're used to success being. Those kinds of guys very rarely have that kind of success in the NFL, but they don't need to. What they need to do is eat up a defender and let the running back flow and cut. And so what ends up happening is, you know, for example, if it's a zone run to the right, your right guard will take a step to the right. He'll match up with that defensive lineman, and then he'll push, right? He might not drive him down the field, but the key is to keep your balance, to keep squared up on him, and keep pushing. Now, I want you to imagine this. If you're the running back, and you're right behind that guy, and you go a little farther outside, the defender reacts to that, then you cut right inside of him. Then that rookie offensive lineman or right guard did what he needed to do. The problem is, if the rookie offensive lineman ends up behind the defender, and now he's pushing him outside from the inside, from the running back's perspective, you have the defender in one hole, and then your own guard on the inside hole, and you've got a huge area where you could have run. It was now eaten up by two guys. And so this is what you need to understand as a young offensive lineman, what success looks like. You don't need to drive people all over creation. You need to stay squared up on them, stay on your feet, and just keep pushing and let the running back make you look good.
Now, Trevor, Willie did mention the sack ratio that, you know, the offensive line or Cam Ward was a part of. Him being the cause of the sack, or the offensive line being the cause of the sack. And with Daboll coming in, how much do you think he can help? Because, listen, whether they get, you know, 20 times better than they were last year — I thought last year was better than the previous year — but they all got to match this up with what Daboll wants and what he sees in his offense. So how much can he help, one, Cam not take so many sacks, and then adversely help the offensive line in the process?
Yeah, the key is first and second down, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if you get third and long, the defense gets to pin their ears back and just go after the quarterback, and that happened too many times to the Titans. So they need to run the ball better. You know, that's what they need to do. But I think getting so many pass catchers at three different positions helps Cam, because it allows him more weapons and better matchups in more places so that he can get the ball out more quickly. And when I say three positions, wide receiver, which is actually several different positions by itself, tight end, and running back. I mean, at running back, when you look at, for example, Tajay Spears, it's kind of under the radar. You guys may have talked about it, but last year he caused more missed tackles in space than any other running back after a catch in the NFL. He's really good at catching the ball and then making something happen in space. Michael Carter is another running back who catches really well. Nicholas Singleton, the draft choice this year out of Penn State, he runs a 4.35 40. So these are your potential backup running backs to Tony Pollard, and all of them can do things not just from the backfield, but also as a receiver to create matchup problems. That gives Cam Ward not just an outlet, but a playmaking possibility every time he can get them the ball. Right. And then at tight end, I think Hunter Helm, you're going to see him kind of rise up. But I think Daniel Bellinger, the free agent tight end they brought in, he's been talked about as a blocker, but not much of a pass catcher. Well, he's not very fast, but he does have the ability to catch 4 or 5 balls a game and keep the chains moving, keep even with the chains. I mean, they've got lots of weapons that Cam can get the ball to quickly, as long as Cam understands where to go with it. And one of the features of a Brian Daboll offense is that it is complex for the defense to recognize and read, but it's far more simple for the quarterback and receivers than most other passing styles like West Coast offense. And so these are all things that give Cam Ward more ability to get the ball out to a better matchup in more places across the field than he had last year. And that will help the offensive line look better than they might be.
So, Trevor, I thought today Mike Borgonzi and Robert Saleh were both careful not to set really any concrete expectations. They want to build a foundation. They both say there's a long way to go. They're looking for those small gains. But they did admit that they're feeling some urgency, especially Borgonzi. He's not in his first year anymore. They're back-to-back three-win seasons. People want to see some progress. So how optimistic are you that overall it will look better, significantly better, even if that's just six wins instead of three?
I think that will look – I think the team will be significantly better this year, even if Cam Ward only takes an incremental step forward. And the reason is that they have improved the pass catchers, the tight end, running back, and wide receiver so much, and because of what they've done on the defensive line. This, to me, is the potential to be the bell cow leading force that defines who the Titans are this year. I love this defensive line, not because they have a whole bunch of superstars outside of Jeffrey Simmons, but because they have a whole lot of guys that can fly up the field and be disruptive behind the line, and they can rotate them in a rotation to keep everybody fresh, including Jeffrey Simmons, keep him fresh. And so, you know, I think that just that alone will create more negative plays by the defense against the opposing offense. It will create more turnovers for the Titans, more takeaways. Just that alone is going to help the Titans tremendously as this offensive line kind of gets up to speed and grows together. But I think, guys, in training camp, especially early, it's going to look really bad to fans. And the reason is that this defensive line is not going to give the offensive line a break at all. They're going to fly upfield. And it's hard enough if you're a good, steady offensive line that's played together a lot to deal with that early in camp. And as time goes on, then the offensive line comes together and all that. But right now, with the state of the right side of this offensive line especially, the defensive line of the Titans, I think, is going to absolutely humiliate the offensive line repeatedly. Early. And I, you know, from a standpoint of an offensive lineman kind of dealing with this, it has to do with the fact that all the D lineman has to do is come flying up the field in this scheme. The offensive lineman has to take very precise steps. He has to be in a very precise spot. And if he's just a beat late, his footwork will break down and then everything goes crazy. And so, you know, I think that we talk a lot about how we need to let Cam Newton have the space to make mistakes in camp and the space to look like he's making mistakes, but he really isn't because he's doing what he was told and we don't know what he's being told. Like, he might be told right to throw the ball down the field into double coverage to the rookie receiver running deep down the field or young receiver, because we want to see if he can make that play, right? And so the fans video that on the sideline and it looks like Cam made a dumb decision throwing the ball into traffic down the field that gets picked off. And, oh, that's terrible for Cam. But that's not terrible for Cam. He did what he was told to do because the coaches were trying to find something else about the receivers, not about Cam. So anyway, but those fans are going to record with their phones and put on social media how the defensive line is crushing the offensive line early. And I don't think that's going to be an accurate representation of what this offensive line will be in week one of the regular season. But, man, it's going to be hard for them to deal with that early on.
Trevor, we will try to keep that perspective when there's ugly practices because you know, you just laid it out, what's going to happen. It's just a natural reaction, but we will keep that in mind. Trevor, thanks a lot for the perspective. As always, we'll study up as a tandem, Racer X and Speed Racer, and better luck in 90s trivia next week.
Absolutely. Thanks,
Willie. All right. Trevor Maddich joining us here on DVD. When we come back, we're going to take a little outside perspective, throw you a change up, and give you what we're going to try to do throughout camp is check in on another big league story that has something to do, some connection to the Titans that Titans fans are going to find interesting. And we're going to talk about it when we come back. It'll be the New England Patriots What do they have for an encore? After all the drama with Mike Vrabel, the rising star in Drake May, who Titans fans hope is setting the pathway for a guy like Cam Ward. But the Patriots were that team that made the big jump last year. What do they got this year? Let's talk about when we come back. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll talk about Robert Saleh in his second tenure as a head coach. What does that mean? What do second-year guys' track records look like in the NFL? Stay tuned. We've got a whole lot more coming here on DVD. Back here on DVD, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Connor Newton here with you. We are setting the table for training camp, and our change of pace topic is coming up here. Our NFL topic that Titans fans will like. We're going to talk about the Patriots and Mike Vrabel here in a minute. But we're also playing music trivia in the 90s. What year was this? That, I know the song. I played this. I had it like in a CD or something. I'm going to go 1996 on that one. Boom.
There you go.
Two in a row. I'm coming back. I'm coming back, people. I had missed a couple. I'm making a nice run here. More to come in the 5 o'clock hour. D-Mace providing the music today. Good call, D-Mace, on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Going back to the old library there. Mm-hmm. The game text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Just call or text us for be a part of our conversation. 615-737-1025. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Now, I was listening to one of my favorite NFL podcasts is the MMQB, Albert Breer, Connor Orr. We've had them both on the show in the past and probably will again in the future. They had a really good podcast this week on some of the big storylines going into the upcoming season, and one of them, of course, is the Patriots came out of nowhere. No, nobody would have predicted last year at this time in July, we're still in July, that it's going to be the Seahawks and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You would have said, ha, what are you doing? Where have you been? Have you been to the Aaron Rodgers cave? Are you getting some illegal substances? Nobody would have predicted that. But now we're talking about what happens next after both of those teams had great seasons. Of course, the Seahawks won the whole thing. But let's focus on Mike Vrabel and the Patriots. We know about the drama and Diana Rossini and all that stuff, and it's hard to define how that's going to be an effect or not an effect on their season. But here's what Albert Breer said about some of the challenges that they have. I'm going to give it to you in a second. But so, D-Mace, off the top of your head, you've seen teams that come out of nowhere that now they're on the scene for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. But you still have an AFC that has Pat Mahomes, who's coming off a big injury. Everything went wrong for the Chiefs last year, but they're back. I can't imagine that they just have nothing to say about anything. You have the Ravens. Mm-hmm. You have Joe Burrow healthy with the Bengals. You got a lot of contenders there. It'll be different. So what are your first thoughts about what the Patriots do for an encore?
It's going to be, my first thought is it's going to be difficult. Not to say that they will not make the playoffs. I think they will if they stay healthy, but that's the big part. But I just think it's going to be difficult for them because Denver, another year in Deshaun Payton, and we're just talking about – I'm talking about AFC. Just AFC in
Let's
general.
Let's focus on the AFC, yeah.
Yeah. So you got Sean Payton another year with Denver. Miami, they may not be good, but can you beat Miami twice in one season? Buffalo's always going to be there. Has Buffalo gotten better? We don't know what the Jets will look like. Their schedule is a little bit more daunting than it was last year.
It's got to be, right? Yeah. It was one of the easiest schedules of all time last year.
So this year, the first, four games of the season, they playoff team, Seattle. Did Pittsburgh make the playoffs? I think they did.
They did.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Buffalo. So the the first four games.
I don't think they had four games that were that difficult, at least on paper, all of last year, four in a row like that.
Exactly.
They didn't.
So you're talking about opening up your season with four playoff teams right off the bat. That's going to be difficult. And then, not to mention, can you stay healthy? They were one of the healthier teams last year. Can that happen 2 years in a row? You hope it does. But those things, when you're not healthy, factor into some of the wins or the losses that you may not, that you may have during the season.
They had a lot of rookies contribute last year. They were among the teams that had the most percentage of snaps. I think it was 21%, top five in percentage of snaps taken by rookies. So they got a lot of production from those guys. That was a little bit unexpected. They had a big jump from Drake May, as we know. You mentioned they stayed injury-free. They had a very easy schedule. They also got mileage out of the Robert Spillanes, the Harold Landrys, guys that were ex-Titans, other guys who had, you know, had the Vrabel flavor. And it worked. Everything worked out great. But it may not go as easily this year. This is what Albert Breer from MMQB had to say about the challenges. And he brought up an interesting team, and we'll get to that in a minute.
I like that they were aggressive in fixing some things. Like I think that some of the things that affected the Commanders in year two with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels, like, are in play here, right? The schedule is tougher. They had great injury luck last year. Like, that generally doesn't happen 2 years in a row. And, like, they are older in spots, you know, and that was, I think, what really hurt the Commanders last year was they hung on to some guys, and some of the guys came back and, like, got hurt or weren't the same. And so, like, you are relying now on some older guys, Harold Landry on the edge, Robert Spillane as an off-ball linebacker, Carlton Davis opposite Christian Gonzalez at corner, A.J. Brown now as an older receiver, Morgan Moses, you know, at right tackle, although you drafted Caleb Lomu, so you have, you know, a backstop there. So, like, I think, you know, you look, like, what I do like is that this isn't just them running it back and that they were able to kind of move some pieces around so the team looks a little different than it did a year ago, which I think is key. I think Drake takes another step. Again, I love his makeup, love his talent, and I think the ceiling for him is he could be the best player in football someday. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but he could be the best player in football someday. You know, and so, like, I think, you know, it's just kind of, it's the same thing I said with Drake, which is like, you may be battling some forces that didn't exist last year, but there should be incremental improvement in a lot of different areas.
So there's Albert Breer's take. He mentioned the Commanders. And so I was thinking, of course, I think the biggest reason the Commanders took a big step back after having that great year under with Jaden Daniels quarterbacking and Dan Quinn as the coach. Daniels got hurt. That's the easy answer, right? But other things went wrong as well. So could that happen to the Patriots? And maybe Drake May is just so good that he overcomes whatever the schedule challenges present, the injury challenges present. Maybe Drake May is that good. But do you buy that?
I think Drake May is going to be a hell of a quarterback. Will he ever be the best player in the league? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not, but I know.
So you're not ready to put him as elite yet?
I mean, no, he, you, that's.
Because he's got A.J. Brown now.
Yes, but he has to be able to prove it with A.J. Brown. You know, Philadelphia was a Super Bowl team without A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown got there along with Saquon Barkley. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. Well, no. They didn't win with A.J. They brought in Saquon and ended up winning the next following year. Now, A.J. goes to New England. Now they have to prove that they can win with an addition like A.J. Brown. It's not to say it's automatically going to happen. There are a lot of things that has to happen for them to ultimately get, you know, to reach their goal and to win the Super Bowl. But if you're just talking about the quarterback, I think he has that type of talent. Now, again, he had ease to another receiver. He got a new receiver. Hell, he has two new receivers, I believe. The other kid from Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs from Green Bay. And then you have A.J. Brown, obviously coming over from Philadelphia. So you have to get up to speed with those two guys. And now these are your number one and your number two wide receivers. So if you can't get that right, if that struggles somewhat, it's going to show. And your defense better be good enough to sustain the team while you're filling out, you know, how to play with A.J. and how to play with Romeo Dobbs together and how they fit and mesh in his offense. Not to say it won't work, but that type of thing typically with the teams you're going to play at the beginning of the season, that stuff is going to show up. It's just how long does it show up? And is it at times where you need a play and then you end up misfiring?
Building off of a surprisingly good season sometimes is harder than you might think. We'll see how the Patriots do. Mike Vrabel, of course, is head coach for a second team, just like Robert Saleh. Mm-hmm. What does Robert Saleh have? That's going to be our topic in hour number three. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about issues for a coach with his second run being in the NFL as the head man. Stay tuned. We're coming up.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.